Hey, today we're going to do a little bit of Chanukah rather than Parshas Vayeshev, because Chanukah is coming up. When you look at the Alanisim that we add into the tefillah, to the benching on Chanukah and on Purim, you'll notice that there's a major difference in them. So first, you eyeball it and you see a major difference. One is much longer than the other, right? The Chanukah one is much longer than the Purim one. But then you look at the actual content of the Alanisim, and it seems to be that there's some significant difference in terms of emphasis and in terms of tone. On Purim, it was that the gezeira was laharug la'abed es kol ha'yehudim minar v'yad zakein taf v'nashim b'yom echad, that everything was going to be destroyed, that we were all going to be killed, that men, women, children were all going to be murdered. Whereas on Chanukah, it was lahashkicham tarasecha u'lahavira mechukei ritzonecha, right, to make us forget the Torah, to make us no longer follow the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mitzvos of Hashem. So Purim, as has been pointed out many, many times, was a physical threat. Chanukah, a spiritual threat. Those are the obvious differences, right? The obvious differences are the length and the emphasis on the physical threat of Purim and the spiritual threat of Chanukah. Less obvious, and points that require clarification relating to the Alanisim is as follows. First of all, what would have been lost if it would have said Ula ha'aviram mechukecha? Mechukecha, from your mitzvos, from your rules, from your laws. Why does it have to be mechukei ritzonecha? What does that word even add? What exactly are chukei ritzonecha, and how are they different than chukecha? Furthermore, and far more striking, is the way we describe how Hashem saved us in each instance, and it's entirely different. The emphasis of how Hashem saved on Purim, we talk about Hefartas Atzaso v'Kalkaltos Machshavaso v'Ashivoslo Gmulo Barosho. What did Hashem do to Haman? The whole emphasis of saving us wasn't about us. It's about what he did to Haman, how Hashem really paid Haman back. Yet on Chanukah, the emphasis is Amadlem Be'es Sarasam Rafta Es Rivam Danta Es Dinam Nakamta Es Nikmasam. Who's that? That's us. That we're talking about us. We're saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did all of this. Not what he did to our enemy, but what he did for us. Sarasam, Rivam, Dinam, Nikmasam. That's references to the Jewish people. That's not references to our enemy. So why is it that on Purim we're emphasizing what Hashem did to our enemy, how Hashem put down Haman, or strung up Haman, and on Chanukah we're emphasizing what Hashem did on behalf of Klal Yisrael? So Rav Yeruchim Olshin Shlita, the Rashiv in Lakewood, points out that the answer is contained within a single word toward the very end of Alanisim. He says at the very end, he says, "Va'achar kach ba'u lidvir be'secha." No, it doesn't say that. It says, "Va'achar kach ba'u vanecha lidvir be'secha." What does that add? That we know the Jewish people. No, vanecha, your children came into the Heichal. See, the goal of the Yevanim was not to destroy us or to kill us, but to rob us of that status of banim lamakom. And our objective was to reinforce our status as banim lamakom, that we are the banim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They specifically targeted the Torah because that's a special gift that Hashem has for us, for Klal Yisrael, that nobody else has. Al tikri marasha elama urasa. That's why Goy is not allowed to learn Torah. The interest wasn't in destroying the Torah, but in translating it to Greek so that it could be widely accessible for everybody. That it shouldn't be our Torah, it should be everybody's Torah. They targeted Bris Mila, which is the physical symbol of a Jew that separates a Jew from the rest of society. Shabbos, also limited to the Jewish people. Goy Shashavas, Chayiv Misa, Rosh Chodesh, which is a uniquely Jewish way of keeping track of time, which is done by the Beis Din, which determines when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. The point was not that we should die, but that we shouldn't be special, that we shouldn't be different, that we should be just like everybody else. And our ability to keep the Torah, our ability to learn Torah, emerges directly from our status as Banim Lamakom. The Torah's obligation of Talmud Torah, right? When the Torah tells us to learn Torah, what does the Torah say? It doesn't say to learn Torah. What does it say? Limadtem espenecha. Torah doesn't even tell us. It tells us, teach Torah. To who? To your children. Our whole connection to Talmud Torah is an av uben connection. That's our connection to Torah. We hire Rebbeim because practically the reality is that it can't always be done me'av leben. But really, that's the way it was meant to be done. So if Hashem wants to give us His Torah, we must be banim lamakom. We connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Torah because we are the banim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? What do we say? We don't say Hashivenu Malkenu l'sorasecha. What do we say? Hashivenu Avinu l'sorasecha. We specifically ask Hashem when we want to connect to Torah as an Av. In defeating the Yevanim, we were able to reestablish that connection as banim lamakom. Right? What is it? V'achar kach ba'u vanecha l'dvir v'secha. That defines our victory. What defines our victory is that we're able to march in and say, we are the Banim Lamakom. That's the victory of Chanukah. And based on that, the answers to the questions become obvious. When we speak of Lahavira Mechuke Ritzonecha, it wasn't Lahavira Mechukecha. It was Mechuke Ritzonecha. It wasn't that they tried to get us to stop doing mitzvos. It was to take away the uniqueness of the relationship. What's the uniqueness of the relationship? An employee does what his boss tells him to do. A child does, if operating like an optimal family should, what his parents want him to do, not only what his parents tell him to do. A husband, a wife, they do what the other spouse wants, not necessarily just what they are told to do. There's a special relationship that is signified when we do ritzonecha, not just chukecha, not just the rules that you set in place. But chukei ritzonecha, Chazal tells in Bava Basra Daf Yud, one of the first part of Bava Basra, tells us that bizman she'atem osim ritzono shel makom, atem kriyim banim. Or bizman she'ena atem osim ritzono shel makom, atem kriyim avadim. Right? This is the debate the Gemara has between Tzoras Rav of Russia and Rabbi Akiva, where Tzoras Rav challenges Rabbi Akiva, and he says, Hashem must not really love poor people, because if he loved poor, or Hashem must not really want you to give tzedakah, because if he wanted the poor people to have money, he would have given them money himself. God could do anything. So the fact that he didn't give them money must be that he doesn't want you to give them money either. So Rabbi Akiva responded with the mashal that, what do you mean? If a king has a child who, in a moment of anger, he punishes the child, don't you think that the king would be happy if someone goes and takes care of that child? So Tonus Rovers responds, yeah, but you're not always banim lamakom. When you're osin ritzonos shalmakom, you're banim lamakom. When you're not osin ritzonos shalmakom, you're kriyin avadin. So it's a little bit strange to say that the definition of someone who's not osin ritzono is a servant. I don't know. Servants do what the master says to do. No, how do you call? We should be less than an eved lamakom. When we're an Eved L'makom, when we're not Osim Ritzono Shalmakom, maybe what it means is the emphasis is on the word Ritzono Shalmakom. The servant does Diburo Shalmakom. The servant may do Tzivuyo Shalmakom. But Ritzono Shalmakom, the Ratzon Hashem, to intuit what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us and to run our lives based on what Ratzon Hashem is, that's Bun. That's only a relationship of banim. Mesillas Yesharim expresses this very beautifully in Perek Yudches. Mesillas Yesharim writes, "Kinei mitzvos hamutalos al kol Yisrael kvar yeduos hein v'chavasan yedua ad heichan himagas." Everyone knows the mitzvos. Everyone knows the extent to which we're obligated in mitzvos. Amnam, misha ohev esabori esbaruch shmo ava amitis. If someone has a genuine love of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, lo yishtadel v'yichavin lifta ratzmo mashak var mufursa menachova ashal kol yisol b'chlal el yikara lo kamo she yikara el ben ohev aviv she ilu yigala aviv es daito gilui ma'at shu chafetz b'davar medvarim kvar yirba haben b'davar ahu b'maisu kol ma she yuchal. When it comes to someone who's just trying to potter himself, what can I, the least I can get away with? So that's one type of relationship. That's not a loving relationship. That's not a ben to an av. A ben to an av, if the av is megala, that this is what I want, the ben is all over that. He wants to do that as much as possible. All he wants is to yarba haben b'davar hu b'maisu kol ma sheyuchal, whatever he's able to do. It's a matter of priority. It's a matter of how we focus our lives. I just had this chus this morning to drive together with Rabbi Orlian into yeshiva. Just the past few days, I've been giving Tamir Halach Shiurim on halachos and etiquette and midos of driving. So I got to put it into practice. Rabbi Orlian needed a ride, so that was great. And so we were schmoozing, and we were talking about Chanukah shailas that come up. So I mentioned that I have a chasana to go to on Hanukkah, on the first night of Hanukkah. He says, ah, it's the worst. You don't get to light Ner Hanukkah anyway. So no, this chasana is going to be starting. It's on a Sunday. It's starting at 6:30, just so that everyone could light at home. I said, so Rabbi Orlian said, but what do you tell the guy about Ner Chanukah on the night of your wedding? It's a big shaila. You don't have a home. You know, you're not in your parents' home anymore. You're in a hotel. What do you do? So the chassan happens to be, I'm glad he's not here. He killed me. The chassan happens to be, he called up, he's getting Wi-Fi installed now. He called up and he said that he called two hotels. One hotel said, and he asked, can I light a scented candle in the room? One hotel said no, one hotel said yes, so that's how we decided which hotel he's staying at. So Rabbi Orlian said, I was just saying it's dumb. Rabbi Orlian said, that's amazing. You know, that's a musr. That's something that we should use as Rabbanim. That look, there are two ways to do things. There's an approach that many people have that, this is what I'm doing. Sunday weddings are 4:30. Period. That's how Sunday weddings work, right? It's got to be 4:30 because that's the nicest time to do a Sunday wedding. And, you know, hotels don't let you light candles. Now, God, make it work, okay? But that's what I'm doing. That's my ratzon. That's what I want to do. That's my plan for life. Now figure out how the halacha is going to fit with that plan. Or you could say, no, the starting point is, what's the halacha? What's the ratzon Hashem? What does the Ribono Shel Olam want from me? And then I'll make my plans around that. And that's the attitude that one can and should have. That's what it means to be a ben lamakom. But the relationship is a two-way street. Just like a ben wants to do ratzon aviv, the av instinctively wants to protect his son. When you hear that somebody did something not so nice to your child, God willing, you'll get to this this stage where kids get in these squabbles or whatever, you know, especially girls, oh my gosh. So you get like, you know, they you know, boys settle things the old fashioned way, you know, and it's over, you know. But with girls, like, it goes on forever and ever and ever. Maybe I'm overgeneralizing, but it's true. So you hear that someone was mean to my daughter? Someone was mean to my... So now, the truth is, I don't even know who the other kid is. The other kid could be the biggest tzaddikas in the world. The other kid could be... But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me. It was my child. How dare she? She's evil. She's me. You know, like, I have a very beloved Talmud who I set up a while ago on... And you know, with a girl, and that I don't know the girl as well, but I know the Talmud very well, and I love the guy, and you know, they were going out for a while, and then it didn't work out after they were going out for a long while. So I said to my wife, "She's so mean." My wife was like, "You can't say that. She's like, you barely even know her. She's that mean." It just wasn't so. But that's the reaction. You know, that this is how can you do this? How could you hurt my, you know? So that's the reaction that a parent has to a child. It has nothing to do with who the other party is or how terrible they are. Just the fact that, as a parent, part of your responsibility and passion is to protect your children. That's really part of the role. I tell this to Hassanim a lot, that even when your wife is wrong, your job is to protect her. Your job is that, you know, she may be in an argument with, I don't know, someone in your family. Your wife and your sister are fighting about something, and your sister's right. It doesn't matter. You're on your wife's side because she's your wife. I mean, that's your job, is to protect her. I once had a situation where someone, I think I may have mentioned this, someone did something... I'm not going to get into details because it will definitely get back to me. But someone did something that was really not good. And I held it was really not good, so much so that I called the woman up and I said, "What you did was really not good." And I got a call from her husband, who's a very close friend. As soon as he called, I knew he was calling to, you know, to say, "Hey, what are you calling my wife and telling her she did something really not good?" You know, you shouldn't do that. They're called out from the rabbi. You know how, like, intimidating that is. Which, by the way, you're all future rabbanim. It's, you don't realize, like, you think of yourself, "I'm just a guy, like everybody." Like, no one ever tells you, like, now people take you seriously. You know, so like when you like make a phone call to say you did something really not good, well, that people will take that much more seriously because it's coming from you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the idea in my head. I said to the fellow, before he said anything, I said, "I'm so proud of you." So he was not expecting that. This was not where this conversation was going in his head. So he said, "For what?" I said, "Because I know that you know that your wife is wrong. But I know that you also know And I see now that you also know that your job is to stand up for your wife and to protect your wife. I'm very proud of you. You're doing the right thing. That was the end of it. He laughed, you know, because that's exactly what was happening. And that was it. That was the end of the conversation. But that's an Av and Ben. An Av protects his Ben. That's what happened. In the Purim story, Hashem punishes an evil enemy. In the Chanukah story, Hashem protects his children. Rafta es rivam, danta es dinam, nakamta es tekvasa. Hashem fought our battle. He took care of us. When I first gave this drasha, it was 2 years ago. I gave this drasha on Chanukah. It was right after Rav Steinman Zichrono Levracha. Excuse me, Rav Steinman Zichrono Levracha had passed away. And you know, I've never seen, I don't think it's ever existed in history, a turnaround from a person releasing a tzava'a, meaning right after his death, to everybody violating that tzava'a, like in a shorter amount of time, right? Rav Steinman's tzava'a was, don't call me a tzaddik, don't say anything nice about me, don't talk about me, don't. And like within like 5 seconds on every Jewish website, they had like write-ups of whatever, you know, and look what a tzaddik, you know, who writes a tzava'a like this, you know, it's like, so, but the stories were just extraordinarily inspiring. I think the only gadol that was actually successful in getting people not to write a book about him was Rav Huttner, because Rav Huttner mamish hated biographies. So like it would be so, you know, like so against what he stood for. But Rav Steinman, there's a wonderful biography, and there are wonderful stories that they tell about him. But you know, what was it? What was Rav Steinman? I think it's a good example of he's a good example of a lot of things. But like, what made him unique? You know, each gadol is something that makes him unique. So was he the Gadol Ador in Torah? I don't know, Chaim Kanievsky is known for that. Rav Steinman was a Gadol Ador in Torah. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is more known for his mastery of Kala Torah Kula. Rav Steinman was a great posek. The posek Ador was Rav Eliashiv, right? Rav Steinman was a great Lamdan. The Brisker Rav's family are the Lamdan in the Haredi world in Eretz Yisrael, right? Rav Steinman was the Ben Lamakom of our generation and of like 6 generations. He lived very long. He was the Ben Lamakom. He was somebody who in many instances took on the responsibility of being an Av li Yisrael and a Ben to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why he effectively gave Torah to so many generations of Talmidim, because he was a father to so many Talmidim. You know, the story is famous when Rebbe asked if it would be okay to get rid of the weakest boy in the class, because the weakest boy in the class is holding the others back. So Steinman said, yeah, you should get rid of him. And then you'll have a new weakest boy, and then you should get rid of him too. And then you'll have another weakest boy, and then you should get rid of him too. And pretty soon you'll have to get rid of yourself. That was he's there to defend his children. You're just going to get, you're going to throw someone out because they're not as strong as you would have dreamed that they would be. You can go on YouTube. You see the video of people pestering Steinman and trying to get him to agree that kids from less chasha families shouldn't be accepted to the elite yeshivas. It's an amazing video. Steinman must have been over 100 years old at the time the video was, you know, at the time that they were pushing him, because that's what they do sometimes. That there are people that know, they take very, very old gedolim and they push them and they push them and they push them until he finally nods. Oh, Kol Kore, you know. So Steinman wouldn't give in. He just screams repeatedly at the guy, Gaiva, Gaiva, Gaiva. He says, you know, when I went to yeshiva, I went with the children of the Brisker Rav and the children of the shoemaker. And some people were the children of Gedolei Yisrael and some people were barely frum. And that's the way it was. And we all did fine for it. When somebody asked about throwing a boy out of yeshiva, Rav Steinman asked what the boy's mother's name is. So the principal said he didn't know. So Rav Steinman said, I don't understand. You're ready to throw him out and you haven't even davened for him yet. You don't even know his mother's name. How do you throw someone out without davening for him? So an Av for Klal Yisrael, a Ben LaHakadosh Baruch Hu. As a young child, the story goes that he was learning late into the night, as like an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, and someone said to him, what are you doing? You know, it's time to go to sleep. And he said, he didn't say, well, if I want to make the Moetzes Gedolei Torah, if I want to be on the dais at the Siyum HaShas, you know, I can't be a YU Rosh Yeshiva first of all, but if I want to be on the dais at the Siyum HaShas, right? That wasn't what he said. He said, I want to become a klechemda, that's a mekabel d'ashras hashchina. What? What does that mean? It means a person just has this intense desire to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when a person does that, you live life entirely differently. So this is, Chanukah is not just, which is, it's no small thing, a Yom Tov of Torah, a Yom Tov of connecting through Torah, and a victory over enemies, which it's all of that as well. A Yom Tov of Nisim, it's all of that as well. A Yom Tov of Or, of light that gets spread in the darkness, it's all of that as well. It's a Yom Tov that Bo Vanecha, that your children came back, that we're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, that we emphasize just the idea of doing Ratzon Hashem. Sometimes, you know, you learn Halacha, and believe me, I'm a huge fan of learning Halacha. It's very, very important to learn Halacha. We shouldn't forget who the Mitzvah is. That when you learn Halacha, you should realize that we're not learning Halacha so that we can figure out the ways around, you know, every loophole. We're not learning Halacha because we just need to know exactly what the rules are. We need to know what the rules are. That's a basis. That's a foundation. But then we'll be more familiar so we can understand, have a better understanding of Ritzono Shel Makom. And that's ultimately what it's all about. What the Ratzon of the Ribono Shel Makom is, because that's what a Ben is supposed to be looking for.